This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.
Well, hello, everybody. It is Friday, which I realize it is a day later than we usually do Readers Entertainment Radio, but it is summer, so schedules are a little bit askew this year. This is Patricia W. Fisher talking to you with an author that I am super excited to have on the show. Her name is Audrey Wick, and Miss Audrey is an English teacher, a full-time English professor at Blinn College here in Texas. She writes for Thule Publishing, and her writing, other writing has also appeared in college textbooks published by Cengage Learning and Norton, as well as in the Houston Chronicle, Chicago Tribune, the Orlando Sentinel, and various other literary journals. Audrey believes this the secret of happiness includes lifelong learning and good stories, but travel and coffee do help. Indeed, they do. She has enjoyed and journeyed to over 20 countries and sipped coffee at every single one. That sounds like a story, a book in itself. And her newest release, Coming Home, came out yesterday, and it is the second of the Texas Sisters series. So you can find her on her website, Audrey Wick, on Twitter at RipWickWrites. The same for Instagram, and she's also on Amazon, and all those links can be found in the description of our show today. So please welcome Miss Audrey Wick. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, Patricia. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to chat.
Of course. Now, this is your second book that came out yesterday, and I saw that you had posted a few things on Twitter when you got the book in your hands. What's that like when you get to see that book, you know, show up in your mail?
Oh, well, I know the feeling well, but in order to describe it, it's just nearly surreal. I mean, as authors, we pour our heart and, of course, all of our time into creating something, and, you know, we finish it, but somehow, for me at least, it doesn't seem quite real until we get it and we're able to hold it. So that was a really big celebratory moment for me to be able not only to hold my first book, but then to have this promise of a second book coming out. And yesterday was a happy celebration of my book birthday for book number two. So it's been wonderful.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of people, you know, when you finish a book, you're like, wow, that was great. You know, and you know, close the screen or you close the cover. But for a writer, it's an all-encompassing process. And you and I both are very lucky to write for Thule Publishing because they do give you some creative input on the covers, which isn't always the case for a lot of publishing houses. So were you surprised when you were asked by Thule for your first book to go look and see if you could find cover art that fit your book cover?
Yes. As an author with Thule, I filled out an art fact cover sheet.
A lot of publishers do that, right? Right.
Yes. And but that was a brand new experience for me. Just as a debut author, I really didn't know what the process involved. And so I put a lot of time and effort into answering questions about physical properties of my characters and the setting and motivation to kind of draw together in words the tone that the book had so a designer could run with that. And I was blown away by both of my book covers, which are absolutely gorgeous. I think they hit the tone of the book so well. Both of my books are women's fiction with romantic elements. There's a strong hero and heroine in both, and I believe that's wonderfully reflected on the book covers.
Yes. And, you know, and it's funny because you talk to a lot of people. I just went to the Romance Writers of America conference last week, and it's interesting to talk to people from all over the world and all over the country to say, they'll say, where are you from? And you say, from Texas. And that alone is its own character. And so to weave that into the story, It's really kind of cool to see what people's preconceived notions of what Texas is about, and then to actually have your book bring that about. Have you had people write to you and say that's not how they do it in Texas?
Well, everybody has their own opinions on the state of Texas, so that is for sure. I wrote both of the books with a strong element of Texas as the setting, and the series is called the Texas Sisters series. Now, I'm a native Texan, so obviously my writing is informed by my experiences in Texas, particularly in rural Texas, where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
But what I loved about writing these books is they both take place in part in Seguin, which is outside of San Antonio. And so I get to play in both books with the rural element of storytelling, but there's such close proximity to that metropolis of San Antonio that that informs part of the book as well. And I don't want to give too much away in terms of the plot line, but it's a really accessible read in terms of a Texas setting because of that.
Right. And it's fun because, again, like, you know, any good, it's just like a cinematographer in a movie. You know, you have to make sure that the setting itself speaks to the reader as well. And you did a beautiful job with setting it up and bringing us in and weaving it all through.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. One of the things that I really, really liked about how you tell the stories is, you know, they're very rich and layered with the character development. You also, you know, have the beautiful way and structure of your sentences and how you put things together. But is it from, like, personal experience in the sense of the relationship between the sisters or something you've seen during your time teaching? Or, you know, how did you come about bringing this story to start writing it?
Well, one of the elements that I love most about telling a story, and I'm a little bit different than a lot of authors in my answer, is a sense of place. When I read, I'm always engrossed in the setting of a story, and often I'll pick up a book simply because of where it's set. It may not be a genre that I normally gravitate toward, or it may not even be a storyline that I'm particularly interested in, but if it's set in a particular location, that alone is often enough to make me want to read a book. And so when I started writing, I purposefully drew from what I like as a reader, which again is that kind of washing around in a place. And I like reading about places that exist. I know a lot of fiction authors will create fictional towns, fictional communities, which of course are a lot of fun. But for me, I wanted these particular books to have an authentic ring to them. And so I purposefully set them in actual locations. And so as readers read the book, they'll run across, for instance, a coffee shop that truly exists on Court Street in Seguin. They'll run across a description of a town square that they can physically go to and see where my characters were. And so that, of course, is a lot of fun in fiction writing, to be able to craft a story but use an actual location that can grab readers too.
Well, and that helps too, because you can say, and this is the coffee shop, like for your Instagram page, you know, here's the coffee shop.
Yes.
Here's the square, and here's the statue that I mentioned, and there's the clove, you know, the grove of trees we talked about. And I think that really brings readers in as well, just like you're mentioning, you know, whether it inspires something you write or whether it's an actual, you know, place that you write about. So obviously you love to read. You're an English professor. And what are some of the books you read as a kid that inspired you to want to keep learning?
Oh, I made regular trips to the public library as a child.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have a bookstore in my town, but the library was my playground.
Right.
And so some of the series that I remember reading, there were two that were particularly transformative for me. I read lots of standalone books, but one of the first was a series by a Texas author, John Erickson, who wrote a Hank the Cow Dog series. And it's
okay.
middle grade fiction about adventures of a dog on a ranch in North Texas. And they were just fun. As a child, I was so pleased to be reading about something that resonated with me, rural life in Texas, from the perspective of a dog. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. And so that was something that I think helped build my sense of place in fiction writing. And so John Erickson continues to write his series. And so it still resonates with a whole new generation of kids, which is incredible. And then I also went through The Babysitter's Club by Anne Martin. I read a lot of Judy Blume books. There was a series called Sweet Valley High. I was a reader who, when I found a series, I'd stick with it.
And so you were reading, and then when did you decide to major in English? Was it because of your love of reading, or was it because of your love of writing, or that's the subject that really you loved in school, or how did that work out?
Well, I started college as a speech major. I loved language, and I thought, oh, this is a natural fit. I had no idea what I would do with a degree in speech communication, but I thought I loved language. And it wasn't until my senior year of undergraduate that I was speaking with an advisor, and I needed some extra hours in order to be able to graduate. And he asked this very basic question to me. He said, well, as you're thinking about future classes, what are you good at? And it's such a simple question, but it stopped me in my tracks because I thought, what am I good at? I'm majoring in this degree program, but I couldn't quite answer that question. What am I good at? And so I thought about it, and I said, well, I'm good at reading. And it's such a basic answer. But he said, okay, why don't you sign up for a few more English classes? And something about that simple exchange flipped a switch in me. And I ended up double majoring my last semester in speech and English, and just fell in love with all of the classes I was taking. I mean, literature and rhetoric and theory and grammar. And it all language spoke to me. And so I stayed and obtained a master's degree too. But it was really because I loved reading. So that was really the catalyst for then sparking my interest in the wider field.
So do you think your love of language is what inspires you to travel as well?
Oh, absolutely. There's a connection there. When I travel, I adore observing people and experiencing things that are off the beaten path, and just kind of using the world as a playground as well, to get outside my own piece of existence and see what else is there. So every time I come back from a trip, I feel like I've grown as a person, but then I also have some wonderful nuggets that I could possibly use in a future story, which is a lot of fun.
And that's the beauty, I think, if you're just naturally inclined to want to tell stories, is you're always tucking those little bits of information away and those experiences to use at a later date. And you know, sadly, I don't think any of us would live long enough, even if we were allowed, you know, 20 lifetimes, to write all the stories, because we just are constant collectors of those bits of information. If you're just tuning in, we are talking to author Audrey Wick here at Readers Entertainment Radio. She has her second book out, Coming Home, from the Texas Sister series. So tell me, Audrey has also has traveled extensively. Tell me some of the things that before you went to a country or even another state, your assumption of what you had read or heard was absolutely false when you got there.
I think that's happened at every place I've visited.
Right.
Only because, you know, we could read about something in an encyclopedia, a textbook. We can read a book of fiction about a place, and that's true of Texas as well, but it's still through a particular lens. And so when we're actually able to go and experience something for ourselves, we do that through our individual lens. And so for me, there's been countless ways that I've had expectations set up for a particular location, and then my guard has been down in a positive way, and I've been able to experience something wonderfully delightful. In my intro, you mentioned that I have a love of coffee, which I do.
Yes.
But when I went, and this is just a very small example, but when I went to the country of Turkey, they have coffee, but served more frequently, yes, was a form of hot tea that they have, a variety of Turkish tea. And so being able to sit down and just being offered a cup of tea at something like a simple cafe, somebody that I met in a community atmosphere. I drank lots of Turkish tea that was just offered in kindness, and I didn't expect that. And so just that very small gesture was a wonderful way to break down a barrier that I thought I might have with some people that I encounter. Just to see and experience kindness through the sharing of a cup of tea stuck with me.
And do you feel like people are generally good and kind-hearted and gracious if you're the same whenever you've traveled?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
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 When I've traveled, I try to remember that there are certain human emotions that are universal. And I always treat travel as me being a guest in someone else's home or location. And so I let the other person take the lead, whether it's a tour guide, a receptionist at a hotel front desk, a shopkeeper, somebody with whom I'm having a conversation. I'm a guest in their world. And so I try to remember that when I travel.
I think my husband and I just recently had the opportunity to go to France, and we weren't always in Paris. We were in surrounding areas and beautiful areas. And what we found is if you, like we're talking about now, if you were gracious and weren't assumptive and didn't get frustrated if, you know, they didn't speak English, obviously, because you're in France and their national language is French. But if you made an attempt to try to speak a little, which we did.
It goes a long way.
People, it does. It's like it's just like you're saying, I'm a guest in your home. I'm really trying here. And a lot of times they were more than happy to help. And it's very interesting when you're just respectful to others, what happens. It's a lot of fun. Traveling can be absolutely fantastic. So I love what you said about going back to John Erickson's book, Hank the Cow Dog, because you mentioned that it was cool. It was you seeing the rural life, like growing up in rural area of Texas, and you were seeing yourself. And there's been a lot of discussion recently, especially with Romance Writers of America, of having more the diversity within books and seeing yourself. How important do you think it is that we write? We as authors really stretch ourselves and try to not just do what we think we would want to read, but to have more of a diversity or a variety of people in our books. How important do you think that is?
I think it's very important, but authors are also so good at that. I mean, authors, by our very nature of telling stories, are flexible, and we all want to be as inclusive as we can. We want to cast a large net for readers so that they can find something in our books that's welcoming and familiar. But I also think that diversity has a lot of different facets. So again, as you mentioned, just reading about rural Texas may not on the surface seem like something that's wildly different. But growing up as a child, when I saw those books on the shelf, I had not mm-hmm. seen anything else like that. And I absolutely connected with that.
Right.
And I also think it's a wonderful way, even as adult readers, for us to experience something new. One of the countries I haven't traveled to is South Africa, but I have a wonderful book waiting to be read on my Kindle that just released before mine from Thule by Elsa Winkler, who writes from South Africa. She writes in English and Afrikaans, and her mm-hmm. book, Where the River Bends in English, is set in South Africa, and I'm excited to read that because, again, that's not a place I visited, and so for me, that's going to be a very diverse experience to read her work of fiction.
And you bring up a very good point. You know, it is, I write about being, in a country that I've never visited and knowing the customs and everything? No, but I can certainly read about it. And I think that's important as we as readers, as writers, is also to diversify our bookshelves as well.
Yes.
And to think outside the box, not only for our readers, but also ourselves. So, tell me, what was your catalyst to start writing the Texas Sisters series?
Well, I started off not as an adult fiction writer. I mm-hmm. spent years in the classroom teaching, and I continue to do that full time. But in doing that, I was always a nonfiction writer. So I wrote articles, essays, things from a third-person perspective. And it wasn't until several years ago that I decided to kind of stretch what I knew about fiction writing and try to write some long-form fiction. And so I started
right.
playing around with young adult writing, and then I moved into adult contemporary. And when I did, I wanted to stay true, again, to my Texas roots and be able to write something about a woman's experience in Texas. And so that was the basic framework that I used for book one, Finding True North. And after I wrote that book, the sister that appears in that first book, a very strong personality, especially near the end mm-hmm. of the book. And so I drew
okay.
her out to write book two, which is Coming Home.
Okay. And do you have other potential siblings or cousins or friends that will be coming with this series?
Oh, yes. Well, I have a third connected book that's not, that I'm still toying with. The manuscript
okay.
is written, but no, nothing firm on that. But I do have two Texas brother books that I'm working
okay.
on for Thule. And so I have these two connected sister books, and I'm going to start a new family and work on some Texas set brothers who own a barbecue joint in Texas.
Okay.
And not only are they going to have a bit of sibling rivalry and some questions about the future of the barbecue market that they run, but some interesting personal challenges and romantic relationships too. So that's my next big project.
So will you have recipes in this next the Texas Brothers series?
Ooh. I need to have recipes. I've already told myself and made a very long list of places I needed to go for research to definitely try
yes.
out different foods and side dishes. But recipes sounds fun.
Yes. Yes, all sorts of things go with barbecue for sure.
Yes.
So I'm looking at the Thule website, and I see not only is your book coming out in the book that you just mentioned, Where the River Bends by Elsa Winkler, but also one by Kate Hewitt, the Vicarage Marriage, Outback Brides, Fiona MacArthur. You also have Outback Brides, Elsa Stand, Catherine Henn, Ranger's Courage by Vella Munn, Overdrive by Juanita Keys, and Outback Brides, Belle's Secret, Victoria Perman. That is quite a lineup that you're part of this month.
It's, It is. There are some wonderful romance writers who I've long admired, who had releases during the same month as mine. And then all of the books that you mentioned, they're set in so many different places. And so Thule does a great job of hopping around the globe with their different works of fiction. And so there's something for really every reader.
Yes. And what's fun is, you know, even getting to meet some of the writers, I got to meet one of the authors from South Africa at the writers' conference last week, and we had a long discussion about something as simple as biscuits, because for her, biscuits are cookies. But we were talking about, like, biscuits, like Southern biscuits that they were serving at this restaurant. And so we had actually all discussed sending her biscuit mix.
How fun.
To South Africa. But then, of course, we're all worried about how to package it, because if the box explodes, that will just set off a whole other alarm of things with all this white powder falling everywhere. So we were a little worried about how we would get that to her. So you've got the Texas Brothers series. You'll be teaching again this fall at Blinn College. What else do you have coming up in your life for writing?
Well, I'm always working on different projects. I do some short story writing on the side. Of course, I continue to do some nonfiction writing too, mostly connected through my job, articles or research. But those upcoming two books are going to be full-length titles, just like these two. And my novels trend, at least by Thule standards, a little on the longer side. So they're going to be full length as well. So those are going to take up most of my free writing time over the next year.
I would say so. Be plenty, plenty busy. So tell me, we've got about 3 minutes left. Tell me your last favorite book that you read. Not your own.
Oh, gosh. No, I have been doing so much reading this summer in such a wonderful way. There's a couple of books on my to-read pile. I'm saving Jamie Brenner's The Husband Hour for the end of summer, because it's a great summer read, and I really enjoyed her her book The Forever Summer, last year. So that's one that I loved. One of my favorites recently has been A Man Called Uwe by Frederick Bachmann. It's just a wonderfully clever tale. And then I always enjoy Elin Hildebrandt books. Joanne Rock and Catherine Mann are fellow writers. We share an agent, and I adore their writing. They write romance and sometimes with steamy elements or with an element of suspense. And then I throw in, I've recently read a couple of great nonfiction memoirs too. So my reading tastes are all over the place.
Well, and so you're diversifying your bookshelf.
I always do.
Yeah.
Well, I always have such a long to read pile.
It is. It never gets shorter. I know my husband's like, is that ever going to, and like, no, it's never. It's always going to be very tall, and there's always going to be a lot of books there. So just, you know, and I remember telling him when we were dating, I said, it's not shoes or jewelry, it's books for me. And
that's
his
right.
comment was, yep. And his comment was, well, as long as you're the one who moves them, if ever we have to relocate, like, that seems fair. So
that sounds like me too.
But when Well, I wanted to thank you so much, Audrey, for coming on the show. Please keep us posted of any future projects. We would love to have you back. And I know that you have a school year coming up, so I hope that goes swimmingly for you. So please
thank
keep checking
Patricia.
In with us. Absolutely. Please keep checking in with us and keep writing. And anybody out there, we have Coming Home by Audrey Wick. Her book just came out yesterday. It's part of the Texas Sister series. It's book two. If you want to take a peek at that, go ahead and check it out on her Instagram, Twitter, and also her website, Audrey Wick. It's A-U-D-R-E-Y D-R-E-Y, Wick, W-I-C-K.com. All the links are there in the show. We appreciate you and keep reading.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.